Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How often do you use the point spread to motivate the team?
I don't know if I ever have. I have. What is it this week?
5-8.
We're underdogs? We're good. All right. Just wrote my Saturday night speech. I'm good. No, I've never used it, but I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog. So if you need a quote.
Ooh,
baby.
That is our new best friend on Fridays.
Yes, it is. Our guy, the soon-to-be NFL Coach of the Year. And my black coffee brother, the great Mike McCarthy.
Good morning, Sean and RJ. My goodness, you guys are, must be a slow news day with that introduction.
What? It was. Did you watch last night's game?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I had it on. Didn't watch much of it. So.
You didn't miss anything.
But yeah, would it end up 12-9?
12-9. Coach, yeah, 12-9. Why is scoring down this year? I think there's like a 5-point per game difference. Have you looked into that whatsoever? Do you have any theories, you know, in this world of offense on why scoring is down this season about 5 weeks in?
Yeah, definitely. I think like a lot of things, you have trends go on in the National Football League. I mean, if you go back and look at the pandemic year, just in weeks 1-4, the amount of games over 500 yards, you know, compared as like in the maybe 50s, and then now it's like 14. So I think you got a couple of things. I thought the pandemic year was, you had a lot of different, you know, training factors that were involved. You know, so my point is the teams in September, some were clearly way ahead of others, more so than I think I've ever experienced. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong side of that in 2020. But then you look at how the numbers have, you know, kind of balanced out last year. And then I think really getting back to having a full off season, I think what defenses are doing on first and second down is really reflects, frankly, what has gone on the last 20 years on offense. Like, they're giving you so many more different personnel groups and more variations. So I always refer to certain situations when you clearly understand where the defense is playing your upfield shoulder. You're able to get some free offense, you know, easier plays that really don't exist, easier opportunities that don't exist as much in today's game. So I think there's a number of factors involved in it, but the numbers clearly speak for themselves. And I'm sure that's what you're referring to, right? Because the numbers from 2020 to 2022, just in September football, are really out of whack.
Yeah, and I noticed that, like, pass plays are at a 10-year low from efficiency, and I wondered, and you brought it up, it's like maybe defenses are doing something different, or our offense is shifting more towards a running game on early downs. I mean, is that going on too?
I think the biggest hole in this whole offseason program and the relationship, you know, that goes on with the league and the union on trying to get the offseason training, you know, get it right, is the fact of the matter is these offensive linemen are at a severe, not just a disadvantage, severe training disadvantage compared to the other positions in the game of football. You know, the fact that they can't really even truly train in their, you know, environment that they actually make a living at until the second week of training camp is, you know, it's a factor. You can't deny it. I mean, you know, the pass rush is ahead of the pass protection, which obviously equates clearly to the numbers that you've already presented. So that's where I see the biggest challenge in training, you know, getting your football team trained is the offensive linemen, you know, there has to be a better way to give these men an opportunity. And I'm really talking about your young players, which obviously makes up 80% of the league. But we got to find a way to get these guys, the offensive linemen, an opportunity for more training, in my opinion.
Coach, how about the rest of your guys in the preseason? Like, you know, kind of your first teamers not playing in games so much, or have those team scrimmages that everyone sets up, does that make up for that? Does that contribute to a slower start to the season with lack of first team preseason action?
I think you make an excellent point in theory, but I disagree with it just based on the mathematics. And what I'm talking about, I think we've talked about this coming out of training camp. The fact of the matter is, you know, the number of reps that the first group had against, other football teams. Now, granted, we did two practice, we practiced with two teams, so we were able to get three full 70, plus play practices. Shoot, the one was 90 against another opponent. So actually, in my experience of being a head coach, our number ones actually had more competitive reps than they would in a normal or, former preseason format where you played three games or four games. So that's the part I liked about it, because the quantity of work was significantly more, but it was in a safer, less risk environment of a practice structure. So, yeah. I mean, that's the reality of the mathematics, and I can see why people have always done it. I will not do two teams again. I thought the travel and, was a bit much for us, in hindsight, but there's definitely merit to go that way. Cause at the end of the day, you want to start the season as healthy as possible. And I think we all give up, the risk of health, and play to that over, trying to get more production or more competitive reps against, against an opponent in a preseason game or even in a competitive practice structure. So, yeah, so I the numbers don't match the theory, but I clearly understand why you said, why you look at it that way.
Mike McCarthy joining us here, 105 through the Fan, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Does it seem to you that the Thursday night football is bad football? Like, do you find that it's more difficult to put a really sound game together?
I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, sure weeks are challenges. I mean, Monday night on the road is probably the toughest in my opinion going into the short week, because it's a long preparation week going into it, and then you're waiting to be the last game, and then boom, you turn around and have to play a game. The Thursday games, you do have, obviously, Sunday to Thursday, we all know we have at least one a year. So, I maybe I'm just used to it, because there's definitely the light at the end of the tunnel moment, because, when you do play on Thursday night, you do have a mini bye type, mindset for your football team. And I think that's very helpful, because so much of this is, how you train your team, staying on top of the stress. And I'm talking about simple as, how much time are you spending on the plane, from one year to the next? Because stress is additive. It all adds up, and it does factor, and you're naive to think it doesn't. So those are the things that I really look at. But, Thursday night football is a challenge. I think it's clearly, one of the challenges of flipping from a Sunday to a Thursday. My experience, the Monday night on the road, Monday night in New York, it was a great win and everything, but you get back at 4:30 and, that's a hard week, and you're going from one division game to another. I mean, that's all added, pressure and that goes into the, into the scheduling process.
I mean, boo-hoo, Coach. Welcome to our life every day.
4:30.
4:30. Boo-hoo.
No, I mean, hey, I get it. You guys are just, to do what you do as early as you do it.
Sitting on our ass.
Big time respect here.
Were you that surprised yesterday to hear that you were an underdog to the Rams in the press conference?
I mean, frankly, I probably shouldn't admit this, but it was a question I wasn't expecting. But I just never really given it any thought. So, usually the only time I worry about getting questions that I don't expect is when I come on your show.
Right, there you go.
I'm usually a little more relaxed when I go into a press conference. But, no, yeah, I was surprised by it. I was surprised by the number, because for a minute there, I thought we were favored by 5. That's the way I think of it, right. Think of our team. But no, I frankly, I've never really looked at it, and they obviously do a great job. And I love the analytics that go into it. I do respect the mathematics that, you know, the length of what people do to come up with that situation. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm in it, you know. I'm in the training of the team every day, and, you know, we're really focused on improving, which we have a lot of room for. And I think as we do that, you know, we're confident to beat anybody on Sunday.
Do you believe in the idea of the Super Bowl hangover? I know it didn't really impact you guys in Green Bay. You went 15-1, but like in general, like is that a real thing, or is that more media fodder?
No, it's real. It's definitely real. And I think, you know, you go back to, I can only talk, you know, specific on my own personal experience, but, you know, I go back to the 2010 season. You win the Super Bowl, but if you recall, we went into a lockout. So, you know, a lot of the riding the wave, or, you know, the pressure and some of those things throughout the offseason and even through training camp, you know, really didn't exist. You know, we didn't have to go through that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, from the day the Super Bowl was won, I think the next time we saw each other was at the ring ceremony, and that was, you know, we had to get permission to do that. And then, you know, then finally when the lockout ended, we went to camp. So we were able to kind of just pick up where we left off, in a sense, you know. So I thought that was very helpful to us at that time. But I think when you do win, and just the whole, you know, winning is the biggest challenge in this league. You know, handling success has always been the biggest challenge. And there's, you know, and I'm talking about it, every level of success. You know, you win three games in a row, and then all of a sudden, you know, human nature is people want to, you know, take their foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And now you know, just the way, you know, things are in the off season, you know, the marketing, all that that goes into it. I mean, it's just another additive component of, you know, stress, or, you know, energy, and tapping into your energy source that you have to deal with. So there's definitely some truth to it, in my opinion.
Mike McCarthy here every Friday with Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I'm asking this connected to Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, not asking you specifically what you're going to do, but your philosophy in going up against the great player, right? This is for all sports, coach, particularly basketball. Do you let the great player get theirs and minimize everyone else, or do you eliminate them from the game and then count on everyone else beating you? How have you approached that throughout your career?
Well, it's all about, you know, projected risk. I mean, he's a great player that is so disruptive. So you have to, you know, the reality is you're trying to take him out of the game, you know, with the attention that you give him and so forth. But, you know, there's obviously situations. I mean, you can't really play it that close to the vest all day long, because, you know, let's not forget what they have on the other side of the ball. You know, they have an all pro quarterback, and, you know, they have an excellent offense too. So, you know, that goes into your thinking here. So, but I think the biggest thing is you try to give that player as much, you know, attention as you possibly can. And by doing that, you try to minimize his impact on the game. And Aaron Donald is obviously a very disruptive player, and, you know, it's definitely got our attention. And so that's really the reality of how you go about it.
What do you see from Cooper Kupp in terms of his style, the way his career has gone? And do you remember anything about what you thought about Kupp or Donald coming out of college?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, when you look at, I mean, you know, Aaron's just, you know, I mean, he has the skills of a elite pass rusher, you know, as a defensive tackle. So, I mean, he does have the ability to go out and play over a tackle at the end position and be extremely disruptive there. So, I mean, just a super talented, physically gifted, you know, and he just has the whole thing. I mean, for his quick and explosive and his the discipline and his hand placement and usage, you know, in the phone booth. I mean, he's a unique player. And as far as Cooper, I mean, he just reminds me of a receiver that plays the position, you know, from the quarterback platform. I mean, he just, you could see the route running and the connection that he has with Matthew, and just how they're in sync, and, you know, and they're really maximizing their opportunities to get him the ball too. I mean, there's, you know, you'd see by formation and the fact of the matter is, you know, he's so involved in the run game and the run blocking, which opens up so many excellent opportunities in the action pass game. So, you know, you talk about a complete receiver, you know, we're usually talking about guys that can beat bump and run, can also go vertical, you know, make the big red zone catch and, you know, all those things from the perimeter perspective, but the fact of the matter, you know, this guy can do that, but he also is ingrained in the box, you know, run blocking components that, you know, definitely give him an opportunity to be a huge weapon in the action pass game. So he is definitely a challenge to prepare for.
All right, Coach, two quick things before we let you go. We heard this locker room audio, and we wanted to get your version of what this meant. Hit it,
Pat. All right, hey. Frankly, man, you just did exactly what you said you were going to do. Excellent, complimentary football. Outstanding. Zach, what time is it?
It's only 3:15!
Coach, why does 3:15 matter?
Well, I mean, you guys should respect that. I mean, how many days, you know, you guys get up early, but you get to go home early too. But you know, how many days in professional football are you done at 3:15? So yeah, it's a big deal.
Okay.
Especially with a win, you know, a win and done at 3:15. That's a great day in this business.
Yeah. And it also gives you more time to shave. Why have you abandoned us? We are the bearded, unshaven men. And we feel like, I mean, at least I have black coffee with you, but you've abandoned us with the shaving.
Well, I mean, you always got November, so we'll see what happens. You know, there's only one person that likes it when I don't shave, and that's my mother. So just trying to make Vaughn happy.
Mike McCarthy, every Friday here on Sean and RJ. Coach, absolute gold as always. Thank you so much for the time, and let's keep that win streak going. Good luck on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
There he is, Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.